I usually don't preach out of the same book twice, in the morning and at night, but tonight I am. And I've got quite a bit that I'm going to read tonight, and then we're going to get into the message, but I want to set the stage for what my message is about tonight, and that's why we're going to be reading a little more than what I normally do. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you look at chapter 2, you'll see that Paul talked to Timothy about being a good soldier and how that he needs to flee a lot of the things that the world has and things like that. And he gets into chapter 3, and it starts out in verse 1. It says, "This know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, displeasers of those that are good, traitor, hasty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, led captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest in all men, as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. With persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's one verse I want everybody to underline in your Bible. If you don't have an underline, you need to underline that. Because it doesn't matter who we are, if we're going to live godly for Christ, we're going to suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, denying and being deceived. And continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in the appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap upon themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch ye on all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. I pray we might get something out of this message tonight. Father, you gave it to me to give, and I just pray that I can give it the way you'd have it to be given. We thank you so much for loving us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. My introduction's a little bit long tonight, but it isn't that long. In chapter 3 of what we read, what Paul is saying is that every one of us who are Christians are going to have problems, believe it or not. Just because we're saved does not mean that all of our problems are gone. We're going to have problems in life. You know, if anybody shouldn't have had problems, it should have been the Apostle Paul. After all, look at what he did for the cause of Christ. You know, he started churches all over. He preached all the time. He saw hundreds and thousands of people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. I mean, if there's anybody at all that shouldn't have had any problems, it was Paul. But yet, what does he say? I suffered persecutions. I suffered for the cause of Christ. There were things that came into my life that I didn't like. There were things that came in that I didn't want in my life. And yet I still had to go through it. You know, verse 12 of what we read, he says, yea, and all the live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Listen, we are promised that we are going to suffer persecution. We are. I mean, we're promised that. After all, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, they're going to hate you because they hated me first.
Yep.
And it's because of me they're going to hate you. You know, we're going to suffer persecution. We're going to have people that don't like us. We're going to have people that don't want to listen to us. We're going to have people that would rather turn their backs on us and go the other way. Why? Because we live differently. We have a different lifestyle. We have different values. We don't live like the world. We live like, well, like God wants us to. But we are going to suffer persecution. You know, as I was going through this, I got to looking at what Paul was saying. Paul said that who else suffered persecution besides him? Moses. Jambri and Jamas. How many of you, anybody know who they were? If you go back to Exodus chapter number 9, you'll see that they were the two sorcerers that turned their serpents, or their staves into serpents.
Really?
Yeah, they were the ones that turned their staves into serpents. And they're the ones that went against Moses when Moses is trying to get Pharaoh to let the people go. Now, if Moses had persecution, so did Paul. And if Paul had persecution, why is it we feel we aren't going to have persecution? But you know, that's the introduction. That's not the message. Now we're going to get into the message. You know, as Paul went through chapter 3, and this is a letter, by the way, you know, when I read the Bible, many times I will read through the entire letter all at one time. You know, when Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, when he wrote to Titus, I read them all as a letter, just like you would read a letter. I don't look at verses, I don't look at chapters, I just read it right straight through, just like a letter. And if you keep reading down through there, you'll see that as he gets from chapter 3 into chapter 4, Paul is talking about the persecutions that Timothy is going to have in chapter 3, and what's going to happen, and how people aren't going to listen to the Word of God anymore. And then he goes into chapter 4, and this is what he says. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to understand something, Timothy. You're young, and I am giving you a charge. I can remember the charge that was given to me on my ordination night by Pastor Munson. And he charged me that night that I should preach the gospel the way it's supposed to be preached. And that's exactly the thing that that Timothy is getting from Paul here, Paul is saying, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand something, Timothy. I'm charging you to do something. I'm telling you, I'm commanding you that you need to do this correctly. You know, there's an awful lot of preachers today that are not charged to take and preach the gospel message. There's an awful lot of preachers today that are not charged to stand behind the pulpit. They're there just to fill up space. They don't preach sin the way it should be preached. You know, but here he's saying, I'm charging you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he didn't say, okay, now this is just my suggestion to you. Did you notice that? This was not a suggestion. It's kind of like the 10 suggestions in Exodus. No, 10 commandments. You know what I mean? What we need to realize, he said, hey, listen, Timothy, I'm charging you before God and the Lord Jesus that you listen to what I have to say, because this stuff is going to come to you. And this is what you're going to have to do about it. He goes on to say, verse 2, he says, preach the word. Wow. Preach the word. Preach the word. Hey, preach the word. He says, I'm charging you, Peter. I'm charging you, Timothy, that you preach the word. Don't preach anything else. Don't preach fables. Don't preach stories. You preach the word of God.
Yeah.
And if you preach the word of God, there's a certain way you got to preach it. He goes on to say, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, and what?
Doctrine.
What's the doctrine?
The word.
Amen. Listen, what we need to realize is that Timothy was a young preacher. He was a little older than what Jacob is. He wasn't real old. And yet here we see that Paul is saying, listen, Timothy, you've got to preach the stuff. You've got to preach the doctrine. You've got to preach sin. You've got to preach rebuke. You've got to preach that people are going to hell. You have to preach it. Even though that isn't what they want to hear. Even though that isn't popular. You've got to preach the Word of God. You've got to take and do what God has commanded you to do. Preach the word. Preach the things that people don't want to hear. But if you preach it and you're long-suffering about it, people are going to get saved. When people get saved, then all of a sudden you see lives change. When you see lives change, then you see people grow. When you see people grow, then you have a lot of things. But you know, he goes on to say in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and to return in fables. Oh, man. Is that like it is today?
Yep.
Are we living in that time period right now?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I mean, turn on the TV and listen to some of these TV evangelists, or TV, whoever they are, I don't even call them evangelists, whatever they are, and listen to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, Joel Osteen is a big one on that one. I won't preach against sin. I won't preach on salvation. I won't preach anything negative. What's judgment? Negativism. That's judgment. I don't know about you, but I serve a God of love, but I also serve a God of judgment.
Right.
I mean, my God is a God of judgment who one day is going to judge the quick and the dead. One day he's going to take and he's going to open up the book and he's going to read from the book. And guess what? There's going to be some people there that are going to say, uh-oh. Maybe I should have listened. Maybe
guys get it, this thing is different. You know, today, in most churches, or I don't even call most of them churches anymore, but in most houses or buildings where they call a church, if you take and you look at what's going on in there, you wonder if you're not in a nightclub. You know, I was flipping through the channels the other night. I couldn't sleep. And when I'm on steroids, I, you know, kind of messes me up kind of bad. But anyway, it was about, I don't know, 11 o'clock. I'm flipping through the channels. All of a sudden, I came onto this, and it said something worship. I thought, oh, that'd be cool. I'll take and see what it's about. I flipped it on there, and I'm going, I mean, they were dancing and they had ribbons and they were flipping these ribbons and they were doing all these dances and stuff up on this stage and they had this big rock band going on and stuff and I'm going, am I really seeing what I'm seeing? Is this really worship? What's going on here? So I went and I flipped the next channel and it was a regular rock and roll band. And I'm thinking to myself, what's the difference between the two of them? Absolutely nothing. They were playing the same beat music. And everybody's going, in both of them. And I'm thinking to myself, what's the difference? But yet they're bringing them in by the thousands because they want their ears tickled. They want their ears tickled. They don't want to hear thus saith the Lord. They don't want to hear that sin is wrong. They don't want to hear that you're going to hell because of your sin. They don't want to hear salvation message. They want to go in and get entertained. Mm-hmm. And if they can't be entertained, they'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I have a message that I preach. It's called cafeteria churches. And that's the way people use churches today. You know that? They'll take and they'll go from church to church until they can pick and choose what they want. And then when they find what they want, then they'll go to that church. It doesn't make any difference if that church preaches salvation. It doesn't make any difference if they have standards. It doesn't make any difference if they have morals. It doesn't matter what that church has. If it's what the people want, that's where they go. You know, the people that were visiting this morning, I had a little chance to talk to them after church a little bit. He looked at me and he says, you know what? He says, this is the kind of church that we go to in Montana. He says, you're not afraid to stand up there and say that stand the Lord. He says, this is the kind of church that we need all over America.
Amen. Right.
I said, yeah, that's right. Here we see Paul telling Timothy, you've got to preach the word. Even though they don't want to hear it, even though they don't want to listen to what you're saying, you've got to preach the word. If you only got 10 people there, you need to preach the word. If you only have 5 people there, you need to preach the word. If you only have 3 people there, you still need to preach the word. It doesn't make any difference how many you have. There's an awful lot of preachers today who are getting very discouraged because their numbers are going down farther and farther. And it isn't because of the preaching, it's because of the people's attitudes. You know, people no longer want to sit in church and listen to good, solid preaching. They don't. They'd rather sit at home in front of a idiot box and watch TV than they would sit and listen to an old-time preacher yell, scream, holler, and kick and bite and shout. But you know, Paul goes on. And he says, you know, the time's going to come when you're going to want to quit because people don't want to listen to you anymore. But he says, in verse 5, he says, but watch thou in all things. What's the next two words? Endure what?
Affliction.
Affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy what?
Ministry.
Ministry. He said, listen, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get down. You're going to want to quit. You're going to have people making fun of you. You're going to be persecuted on all sides. You're going to say, what is the use? So remember this, Timothy. Remember this. Watch thou in all things. Endure the bad times. Do the work that God has put before you. Do what God has given you to do. Keep going. Just keep on going. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how tired you get, no matter how many hours you have to put in, keep going. Because there's going to be better times coming. He goes on to say in there, he says, do the work and make full proof of your ministry. He's saying to young Timothy, he says, I want you to understand something. You need to work hard. You need to take and work at what you've been given to do as hard as you possibly can. Put in the hours. Get the things done that you need to get done. Get it completed. Even though you don't want to do it. Even though there's going to be times when you want to quit. Just continue to do the work that God has put before you. You know, that's hard. It's hard many times to do that, isn't it? How many of you get tired at work? I know I do. You know, I get home at night and I'm going, oh, man, it was a hard day today. And I sit down and I will have a glass of soda and I'll sit there and I'll fall sound asleep. It's all cold. And I'll sleep for about half hour, 45 minutes. Just bang. I'll wake up and I'll go, wow, that felt good. Power nap. Yes! Now, who needs 5 hours, that 5 hour energy drink? I just have a power nap. That works just as well. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know, we need to realize that all of us get tired. All of us get weary. All of us get weary of well-doing. And yet, we need to just continue to go ahead and keep going forward. You know, there's an awful lot of people who many times would just like to stop. Quit. Don't go any farther. And there's days when I know when we leave school that that's what we want to do. And just say, I ain't coming back tomorrow. There's no way. I've had enough of these little snot-nosed brats. I'm not coming back again. Period. Right, Molly? And, but you know, the next day we get up and we go right back at it again, don't we? And you know, that's what Paul is telling Timothy here. He says, you know, he says, you need to continue on with the ministry that you've been given. I talked to a pastor friend of mine the other day, and he said to me, he says, you know, he says, I don't know if I can do it much longer. I said, do what? He says, I'm getting older. And he says, I just don't know how much longer I can continue to preach the way I do. I said, how old are you? He says, well, I'm 55. I said, well, you've got at least another 10 years in you. He says, what do you mean? I said, I'm 64 and I'm still going. I said, you got at least 9. He said to me, he says, you know, he says, when I look at it that way, he says, I guess you're right. You know, listen, all of us, it doesn't make any difference. And I really believe many times preachers get more discouraged than what lay people do. Because they see the numbers starting to go down, they see things start to happen, and they're going, what's the use? Why put in all these hours? Why put in all this time when we aren't seeing much fruit? But yet, I look at what Paul told Timothy. He said, listen, he says, you've got to make full proof of your ministry. You have to prove that ministry. You've got to do everything you can to keep that ministry going. Because that's where God puts you. And as long as God puts you there, that's where you got to stay. Until he takes you off. You know what? I got to looking at that. I thought to myself, well, Paul, what do you know? You aren't in my shoes. And then I started looking at that a little better. And Paul in verse 6, he says, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul saying, Timothy, I want you to understand something. My ministry is just about over. I'm just about done. My life on this earth is going to be done here shortly. I'm handing the reins over to you, Timothy, and it's up to you to lead this from here on. He says, I'm ready. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go to be with the Lord. I am. I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He says, listen, I've done everything that God has wanted me to do. I preached the word. I suffered the persecution. I went through the affliction. I went through shipwreck. I was whipped. I was beaten. I was stoned. I was left for dead. I did everything that God wanted me to do. And now, my life is coming to an end. But, it's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you, Timothy, to take the reins. It's up to you to lead the charge. It's up to you to teach the next generation. It's up to you to see this movement continue on. It's up to you. You know, if I would have been Timothy, I would have been sitting there and going, you know, I don't know if I want to go through that much persecution or not. After all, Paul went through a lot of it.
Paul was warned. The day I was told about it.
And I know. But you know, he says, Paul goes on in verse 7, I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Verse 8, I believe, is one of the most precious verses in the whole Bible. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord's righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearance. Do thou diligence to come shortly unto me. Paul saying, you know what? He says, I'm charging you, Timothy, to preach the word. I'm charging you to be faithful to what God has called you to do. Even though they don't want to listen to you, even though you're going to suffer persecution, even though you're going to have all kinds of problems in your life, I'm charging you to do this. Because I've done it. I went through the deep waters of life. I went through the persecution. I went through the things that probably most preachers would have quit doing. But, he says, there's a reward for it. There's a reward for you. As long as we're faithful to do what God has called us to do, there's going to be a reward for us.
Amen.
You know, the thing I like most about that verse, he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. Okay? He could have stopped right there, couldn't he? He could have said, now, Timothy, you know what? I have done such a good job being a evangelist of the Lord that he has a reward for me. And he knows. But it's better than what he said. That is not what Paul said. Paul goes on then, and he says, but unto them all, but unto all them also that love his appearance. Man, I'll tell you what, I am so glad that I'm saved.
Amen.
I am so glad that I know that if I would close my eyes in death, I would open them at Jesus' feet. And you know the words I want to hear most of all? Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yep.
You were faithful to the end. You know, as I was reading this, I got thinking about Paul. When Paul died, got to heaven, and there's the Lord Jesus. Next John picked him up. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You kept the faith. You preached the word in season, out of season. You rebuked. You exhorted. You preached sound doctrine. Way to go, Paul. You know, that's what I want to hear. You know, I want Jesus to be proud of me, of what I've done for him while I was here on this earth. Because I'm looking for that reward in heaven. I'm looking for that crown of righteousness. I'm looking for what is ahead of me. But you know, verse 10 is probably one of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved his present world, and departed unto Thessalonica, ceasing to Galatia and Titus to Ditra. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for ministry. You know, as I looked at verse 10, it reminded me of people who've been in this church over the last 20 years that are no longer here. Because they loved the things of this world better than the things of the Lord. I can tell you person after person after person who is backslidden so far back into sin that they'll probably never go back into the church again, ever. Why? Because they love this present world. You know, Paul's telling Timothy, listen, Timothy, you've got to take and preach this stuff. I'm commanding you. I'm charging you. You've got to preach this stuff. Even though people don't want to hear, even though there are going to be people who are going to turn their back on you. I did a study on Demas one time. Demas had been with Paul for 3 years. Followed him. He had went from prison to prison with him. He was even on the way to Rome with him. And yet he still left. He still left. Because he loved the things of this present world better than the things that were before him in heaven. You know, as I look at this and I think of the Apostle Paul and how that he had to be a very, very strong man. After having having people just walk out on it. Nobody stayed with it. You take and go down through there and you look at at what he says. He says in verse 16, he says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid on their charge." No man stayed with him. If you go to John 6:66, you'll see there that one of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. When even the disciples, Jesus' disciples, forsook him. You know, what we need to realize is this, is that being in the ministry, being a child of God, being a Christian, is not going to be the funnest thing in life. It is. It's going to be one of the most unthankful positions we could ever have in our entire life. However, it's going to be gratifying in the end.
Amen.
In the end, we're going to stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We're going to hear, "Enter thou into my kingdom." Instead of, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I knew you not." You know, I would lot sooner had that crown of righteousness waiting for me.
Amen.
Than I would going, "Boy, I hope I make it." How many times have you talked to people and said, "If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity?" They go, "I hope I go to heaven."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know I'm going there. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul told Timothy, "I'm commanding you to do this." And that same commandment goes for each and every one of us. We are to preach the gospel message to everybody we come to. Carry tracts with you. Keep them in your pocket. Give them all. You know, I love that. The other day I was at Walmart. Had one in my pocket. And this guy walking on, "Well, here, I got a present for you." Gave it to him. He goes, "Thanks." He took it, put it in his pocket, and walked away. He read it. I had no idea. He might have, might not have. I don't know. But at least I gave it to him. It didn't take anything, 2 seconds. You know, what we need to realize is God has given us an opportunity to share the gospel with as many as we possibly can, and we need to do it while we have time.
Yeah.
It's just like Timothy. Paul says, "Keep preaching the stuff." You know, there's a lot of times, and Brother Mike and I, we talked about this, about things that we could possibly do different in church. And you know what we come down to? The same thing we've always done. Keep preaching the Word of God. The way it's supposed to be preached. There's going to be people get on the train, there's going to be people get off the train. We just keep that train on the tracks and keep it going. And as long as we do that, we're going to have that crown of righteousness put up for us.
Amen.
Just like Paul. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and the rest of them, Peter. We just need to keep going straight. Just keep going in what God has called us to do. And if we do, there is a cost. There is a cost.
Mm-hmm.
Father, thank you so much for tonight.